You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and you've tuned in to Know Your States, Know Your Community, where we're interviewing representatives from each of our 50 states who happen to live or be part of our North Idaho community now, but grew up in, were born in, raised in, spent time in each of the other 50 states. We do two states per night, and we're talking first tonight to somebody from the old colony state, the Bay State, our 16th most populous state, home to more than 7 million people, the sixth state in the Union, which ratified the Constitution on February 6th, 1788. We are talking to a Massachusettsian named Amanda De Lima. Welcome, Amanda. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Is that correct? A Massachusetts? I don't know if I can get that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong.
How do we identify a person from Massachusetts, Amanda?
I think that's right. Massachusian.
Yeah. Massachusian. I see C-H-E-W. Massachusian.
Okay, let's see.
Cool.
You could be a Bay Stater. That would actually be official, I think. Massachusettsian is recommended by the United States Government Publishing Office, or Massachusite.
Ooh, is another traditional word. Negative on that. Okay. Where in Massachusetts were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in New Bedford.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A whaling town.
That's right.
Okay.
Wow.
I know that from Moby Dick.
From Moby Dick.
That's where it was written about. Yeah.
Okay. So you grew up on the ocean.
I did.
Tell me about that. What was it like just being out there with the ocean? Just what did you do? Did you take a little kayak and go out and do it? Or what's it like to be raised on the ocean?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty amazing experience to be born and raised on the ocean. I would ride my bike after school to the wharf almost every day in the spring and fall. And anytime you're taking a drive, you have the ocean in your front windshield or in your rear view. Lots of little coastal markets, tons of boats, commercial fishing vessels, a ton of history. The downtown of New Bedford is really historical. We have original cobblestone streets. We have the Whaling Museum, which is very well known in the United States. We actually have large scale replicas of whales, in the museum that you can walk under, blue whales. So you can see the actual size of whales.
Oh, that'd be cool.
What's the water like? Did you go swimming?
I did.
Was it cold?
It's a lot warmer than the Pacific. A lot warmer.
Okay.
And especially in the fall, we get the Gulf Stream. So it's a great time to go out. It's really warm on the coast this time of year and into December. And my dad used to have a little boat, and we'd go out and we'd go fishing for all sorts of different things.
What would you catch?
Usually we tried to go for stripers, which...
Oh, I don't know what a striper is. Do you, Jack?
Me neither. No, I've heard of it in songs.
Good eating?
Yeah. Really good eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the map of Massachusetts. You're not that far. Well, I was going to say Rhode Island and Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But what's the coastline like? Is it a bunch of beaches or is it rocky?
It's the dunes. So we're right outside of Cape Cod, which there's like these sand dunes. Kind of mountainous sand dunes that extend from the tip of the Cape all the way down towards New Bedford. And there are some areas that are rocky, mostly because they've built these piers that help with storm surges. Mm. But there are a few beaches. It's pretty far and few in between. A lot of protected land that you can hike along the dunes.
Okay.
And then a lot of homes. It's pretty developed.
Yeah.
How big is the kind of sand dune you're talking about here?
That's a great question.
It's always hard to put it into a measurement, but like, are these these are kind of really big hills or the sand dunes? I mean, is it hard to walk over one?
Yes, it is. Okay. They can be like 20 feet.
Yeah.
So if you're standing in between two, you can't see the water.
Yeah.
Mm. And in some areas, they're a lot shorter.
Okay.
And that area is called the Pine Barrens. So they grow pine trees, which are a species that can handle salt water, which is kind of cool.
Let's see. So New Bedford, you're right at the coast, and you are, what's that bay? What is the bay called that New Bedford is on? Do you happen to know?
So I believe we are just outside of Buzzards Bay.
Buzzards Bay.
Which is the kind of official, yeah.
Buzzards. Uh-huh. I'm sure there's a story behind that. I mean, you know, whatever it is. I like the name. We're going to Buzzards Bay.
Yeah. And then, but across the bay from you is, is that Martha's Vineyard? Or is that Nantucket? What's out there?
Yeah. So the two islands, Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. Yeah, they're pretty directly out in the ocean from us. So there is a ferry that leaves. There's an airport where you can fly onto the islands, or you can drive out onto Cape Cod and take a ferry.
Okay.
Out of Hyannis to the two islands.
So you're sort of like on the east coast of Massachusetts. What's the rest of the state like?
That's a great question. So part of Western Mass, the Appalachian Mountains run through it. So it's
and the Appalachian Trail.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that section of the mountain range is called the Berkshires.
Okay.
And out there is Amherst, which is where I went to college. So I did get to spend a lot of time in that section of the state.
Emily Dickinson country.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah.
The Cape is on the other side. That's moving back to it. It's the East Coast. Sorry, Jim. We can talk West again. But
no, that's right. We're bouncing around.
Back to the Cape Cod is it's kind of a fascinating geographical area to me. I've never been there. I have been to the state of Massachusetts, but I think really just around Boston. I've never explored. But the Cape is close by, but because it's so narrow and, you know, it's such a curlicue up there, it's kind of, it is remote in its own way. Isn't it? I mean,
that's true. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not easy to get out there. I think from my hometown, it can take 2 hours to get to Provincetown. Which is the very tip of...
That's the end.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. End of the road.
What's Cape Cod like? Is that unique as well within the state?
Yeah. It's really historical. It's pretty protected, so it's stayed really original. Lots of little, like, villages, tiny fishing communities, really cute walking town, very quiet. Everything is kind of like, you're not allowed to have franchises out there. So it's all mom and pop stores. There's a lot of regulation. Once you go over the Bourne Bridge and over the Cape Cod Canal, it has been really well preserved. And I think that's why people like to vacation there. It's its own experience.
Yeah. Cape Cod itself it's an island. I mean, right? It's divided by water from the rest of the...
Sort of a man-made canal.
Okay. All right. Does that count? I don't know.
I love this question. I've never thought about it. You can only access it by boat or the bridges. There's two bridges that go over it, which can get pretty congested in the summer. It can take you an hour just to cross the bridge and get out onto the Cape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
What are the winters like?
Ooh. Well... In any given moment, it just changes like the drop of a hat. We have crazy blizzards when we have cold winters, where we have ocean-blown snow, and you can have drifts that cover your whole house, and you have to dig out, which is pretty unfathomable to most of us. Here in the West, to have a 20-foot drift over your car, those are some fond memories as a kid, where school shuts down for literally 2 weeks because you can't navigate roads.
Yeah.
Or we have really mild winters, or an interspersing of both of those phenomenon, where it's just warm and coastal and kind of rainy, sometimes sunny, a little breezy. It's not particularly a windy area, but but ocean storms are real.
Can I ask you a stupid question? that when you said an ocean drifts snow, do the snowflakes, are they salty?
Oh.
I can remember, you know, growing up around the Great Lakes, you know, with a nice snowstorm, you know, that's fresh water, you know, you run around with your tongue.
Totally.
I don't know. Would
they're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of my dumb question.
It's not dumb. Keying into that, so when we have summer storms like hurricanes,
okay,
if they blow off the ocean, the precipitation can be salty, and it's killed like whole tree groves, gardens.
I was going to say, what's that on vegetation not used to it?
It's really harsh. We've seen like downtown die of plant, you know, be devoid of plants after one of those storms because they just brown up and die. They can't handle it. Really rare, but it does happen sometimes. Yeah.
Have you spent much time in Boston, Massachusetts?
A little bit. Not as much as I would like to. More as an adult.
You have. Yeah.
Yeah. Very historical, again, brick buildings, crazy streets that are circles. So if you get lost, you hope your phone is working. Even me who grew up there.
It's circular. They lead you in, they don't lead you to the right place.
No, they don't. They're old carriage roads that they just paved. And so once you end up in Boston, it's not a grid. And so streets cross each other and they arc a lot like old carriage roads. And it's really confusing.
Well, that's different from our experience growing up in the Midwest, where everything is at right angles.
That's right.
You know, to grow up, let's say, like a town like Boston, where good luck.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. How about the... what's the culture of New Bedford like as compared to, say, the culture of a city like Sandpoint?
New Bedford's
a pretty good-sized town, I guess, so maybe compare it to, I don't know.
Did we find out the population of New Bedford?
101,000.
Oh, it's major.
Right now. Anyway.
Was that what it was when you were growing up?
I think it was under 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are the outside of tourism, what are the major industries? And then we can get into Jack's question. Why would it grow?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, historically whaling, but that's, I imagine, not much of a driver of the economic life anymore.
Not anymore, though commercial fishing is huge out of New Bedford.
Okay.
It's like a really big port for commercial fishermen, and there are humongous fishing vessels that go in and out of that port.
Mm-hmm.
So fishing is big. I know a lot of people that left high school and they went into the fishing industry. They work on boats full time. And they're long voyages, 3-4 months at a time, deep water fishing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
So the big thing there is scallop fishing. It's a huge industry and it's pretty predominant out of New Bedford. And technology. New Bedford, or I should say Massachusetts in general, is a huge tech and medical industry area with the schools like MIT and Harvard. And there are a lot of places to just work. I mean, it's a big city now. It's not built up. It's not Skyriser City, but more sprawling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got the sprawl going. But lots of different jobs, engineering, technology.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
You said your family had a boat growing up?
Just a little one, yeah.
A little one. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty common, like for folks in New Bedford to have a little boat parked down at the dock or something?
I think so. Maybe not as much in New Bedford as the surrounding towns, which are a little bit smaller and more affluent. New Bedford's pretty urban.
Yeah.
And it's really city-like. I mean, we have areas of the town that are very, very urban. And it's, as you would imagine, walking through the city, like the type of music, the buildings, how big they are, how many people live on top of each other. And then there's sections of New Bedford that are extremely historical and really preserved. And then you, of course, have suburbia, which is where I grew up, more on the suburban side of the city.
Yeah.
But
This area of Massachusetts is it's still a historical historical center. Did you feel like, you know, growing up, did you feel like, wow, this is the place where everything happened?
No, no, it was not.
No,
I was excited to get out.
You are,
Now, do you go back and visit?
I do. I'm actually going back in 2 weeks.
Okay, now, I'd love to ask, you know, people who come in and talk about their states. What do you feel that you miss?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that here you are. in landlocked Idaho, mm-hmm. and you go back to Massachusetts and New Bedford, what do you find that you've missed?
I really miss the coastal vibe. It's just when I go home and everywhere you go, you can see the ocean and you can smell the ocean and all the architecture is really old and it kind of matches that, you know, if you open up an old book and you see a black and white photo of times in the 1500s, you know, we have all the old light fixtures, the cobblestone streets, the buildings are original. It's really, it's like a step back in time. And I don't think I appreciated that as a kid. But when I go home, I really appreciate it.
You really notice it. How about food? Like, you know, boy, when I get back to New Bedford, I'm going to have a plate of
Portuguese food.
Portuguese?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
What a surprise. Is there a pork? Was that a destination for immigrants?
Yes. And,
wow.
A huge one. Yeah.
Is that your heritage, Amanda?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is home-cooked Portuguese food.
And store and restaurants. My hometown, New Bedford, has a huge Portuguese population. Mm-hmm. And so my parents are immigrants from Portugal. And so are all of their neighbors and everybody I went to school with. And
wow.
We're in like this little bubble of time where a large amount of people immigrated there from Portugal for about 30 years.
Wow.
I don't think it's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those shops are turning over and people have left or are retired now. So.
When you say Portuguese food, what would be some dishes that you would long for?
So I would long for a lot of the smoked and cured seafood.
Ah, okay.
They do a lot of like outdoor fire cooking and curing, and you roast that with a bunch of vegetables. A lot of pit cooking, open charcoal cooking. It's a really fun way to gather. And it's interactive where the whole family gets together. Even at restaurants, they'll have them out back.
Ooh.
And you can pick all your food and like throw it in the pit and cook and share. And then, of course, the Madeira wine, which is a tradition for the Azores.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, all made there or in Portugal. And it's a really fun tradition that you share once a year.
Huh. So. I did not know that. But my family, I've only been to the Boston Logan Airport.
Uh-huh.
That's the only place. But you know, when you mentioned the Berkshires, I thought of Sweet Baby James, the song by James Taylor.
Yeah,
and there's winter in there. And what are some of the things if one is going to visit? It sounds like you could go anywhere in Massachusetts. You know, that is you know, the history and a lot of the narrative of populations moving. What would be some of the highlights of a person's going to visit Massachusetts that you would suggest?
Definitely a historical tour. They've got kind of like here how we have like the Selkirk International Loop, for an example. There's things like that in Massachusetts where you can get out of the airport, jump into Boston and tour all these really old historical sites all the way down the coast into Rhode Island. It's really fun. It's unfathomable to me sometimes to imagine buildings still up from the 1400s. There's just really old, old stuff. And so if you're coming from Idaho and you've never seen anything older than, you know, 1810, it's amazing to see the labyrinths of buildings, the underground tunnels you can walk. There's just so much that has happened in that area.
Yeah.
What's it like being on top of Connecticut and Rhode Island?
Well, Rhode Island was 30 minutes from New Bedford. So I spent a lot of time in Rhode Island.
Well, you think? The distances are not as great in that among those three states as you look, as you move westward.
That's true.
Does Massachusetts have much to do with those two states? Are there like rivalries in sports, I would imagine?
Not so much. Well, we do. Yeah, we do. Our sports teams do kind of play with other states sometimes. If you're on the South Coast, I think there's a divide. Anybody up in the northern part of the state is really interacting with Vermont and New Hampshire. And anybody
that's right.
Yeah, like you don't go past Boston. It's just if you're on the South Coast, you go to Boston and then you turn around.
And then you stop and you head back north again. Yeah.
You don't want to cross Boston. Unless you're going to New Hampshire and you're outdoorsy. Then you're in vacation land. And then Rhode Island was a great place to vacation for the ocean. I think a lot of people went there. And Providence is a quieter city. than Boston. And so we would go to Providence a lot more than Boston.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Even the airport, it's like tiny and easy to get out of.
Rather than dealing with the huge city traffic and everything that goes with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Let's see. You don't have too much of an accent, Amanda. Where's your
what happened?
That famous Massachusetts accent?
I got rid of it. I had to be out in the world.
Did you actually? Do you find that you had one? Do you find that it comes back when you're in Massachusetts or?
Yeah, sometimes if I spend too much time with my family, it's kind of a cross between a Boston accent and then like a Portuguese accent.
Yeah.
So it got even weirder.
Like, oh,
You don't want to be in the world. No one understands you.
What if can you tell us that you parked the car at Harvard Yard?
I parked the car in Harvard Yard.
Listen, that's wonderful.
What else can we ask about the state of Massachusetts? There's a million things.
I want to ask Amanda. I'm going to go back to Amherst.
Mm.
And Emily Dickinson, did you go to the homestead, her home?
Yeah, it's really neat.
Oh,
it's a really, really neat piece of history. And to see it, you know, live.
Yeah.
And of course, there's Walden Pond.
I was going to ask you about Walden Pond.
The Transcendental Movement. Yeah, all that stuff's still there.
A big literary, but certainly for me, Emily Dickinson reigns supreme.
Yes.
And how neat that you've
got.
Really cool. Yeah, yeah. Any
clam chowder?
Ooh. Oh.
You didn't say clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
How is it? Is it good? Is it better out there than you can get it over here?
So much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the clams are probably fresh.
They are.
Absolutely.
That would do it.
Yeah. Amanda, we're winding down in terms of time. And anything about Massachusetts that you would like the listeners to know that we haven't talked about?
Check it out. Just go there.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the East Coast. It's a different world than the West Coast. The people are different. You don't need to leave the country to experience a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. And I think the West Coast is amazing, but there's like this line that happens around Montana and people don't cross it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really fun to be a visitor of places that have been really well taken care of. And I think it's a good thing to bring home sometimes as we develop here and things happen.
Yeah.
So. Well, Amanda, we want to thank you for coming to the radio station here and doing Know Your States, Know Your Community. And I think you've done Massachusetts proud.
Thank you.